the fourth page in, and then the next one is the word find. Has anybody finished the word find? Are all the words there? Are they there?
Yeah.
All right. Good. You found them? Good job. All right. Good. So we're going to look at the perfecting staff today. Of course, we started with the purifying staff. How good do we have to be to enter into the gates of heaven? Well, we have to be perfect, but we can't do that. We can't be perfect. We looked at the heathen sinner, the moral sinner, and the righteous sinner. And then we also looked at, the religious sinner. And then we looked at the powerful staff that deals with words such as justification, a legal term, which means a change in God's record book. We looked at propitiation, that all of God's righteous demands are satisfied. We looked at the fact between the Adam and Christ. Adam was the one who brought in sin, death, destruction, but Christ is the one that conquered that sin that we might have eternal life, life and judgment, life and righteousness through him. We looked at the word sanctification, set apart for the glory of God. We looked at the fact that Christ died for us only once, and so therefore his death was secure. Once we trust in him as our Savior, we will have eternal life and never lose it. And then we looked also at the preserving staff, that he preserves us, that once we're saved, always saved. We looked at the chain link fence, or the chain is all linked together, foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. All one chain. Once we come to know Christ as our Savior, we are secure. We, in God's eyes, are glorified. That is powerful. So the question that I ask, does eternal security really matter? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because it would affect, first of all, my salvation by faith, wouldn't it? It also, my assurance of God's forgiveness. It would also affect my salvation by faith. And it would accept, it also would affect my witnessing. And last of all, it would affect me concerning facing death. That's powerful. That you know without a shadow of a doubt. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written that ye may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You can know. So today we're going to look at the perfecting staff. This one here is very encouraging to me. We're going to look at a number of things. But first of all, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And that's most of them. In fact, I guess we just look at a few of the verses, just 1 through 2. But we're going to go ahead. Let me read very quickly through Romans chapter 12. And then we'll continue on. It says here in Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. A living sacrifice. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier to die than to be a living one, right? It'd be easier to die in Christ than to be a living sacrifice, because it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to live a life well pleasing and glorifying to God. And he's begging us, your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is right there. We can know the will of God. A perfect example of the message this morning, the series on knowing and living God's will, and to know this is the will of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we serve him. We say no to sin. We say no to this world and stand up for what's right. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and secure, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Yes, a powerful portion of scripture. Let's look at this series on the perfecting staff. The perfecting staff, I have it right here. Here we go. Who would be willing right now to go ahead and read that from the screen? Oh, yes, mic time. Here we go. This guy right there. All right. Yes, hello, Mike. Yep, this is the two verses that I have already read. But let's go ahead and read them again real quick. Thank you. Roger, go ahead.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Will of God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here we go. The perfecting staff. Has a friend ever given you something, expecting you to give him something in return? Has anybody ever done that to you? Yes. Was that gift given in love? No. Does God expect anything in return for his love toward you? No. That shares with us, and we could deal with eternal security there, that once saved, always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. It is secure. Because if it's not secure, then it's not a gift. It's not a gift. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. It was a gift. If you can lose it, listen, if you can lose it, it's not a gift. It's not a gift. It's something that you purchase. And salvation is not nothing that you could purchase, not by works of righteousness, which I have done. So it is secure. The perfecting staff. It goes on, the request then, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1, the verse that we just looked at, that it is a living, he asks us to be a living sacrifice. In other words, to control our attitudes, our desires, our thoughts, and our actions. He wants to be in control. He wants to control us, that we might live for him, adjust our attitudes, adjust our desires, adjust our thoughts, that our thoughts, our desires, our attitudes, our actions are all focused on him, and that we want to live for him after all that he has done for us. It's not that God's going to come down and stomp us. It's not that God's going to take away our salvation, but we'll lose our fellowship. And after all that he's done for us, We should focus on him and Christ alone. I don't think we have, let's see here, I guess, yeah, Romans 6:23 is coming up, isn't it? All right, request, service. Number three, where are we here? Oh, okay, it's coming up. Number three, God desires willing action. Willing action. And then Romans 6, verse 13. Anybody be willing to read Romans 6, verse 13?
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Okay, yes, so we must be instruments of righteousness, from unrighteousness to righteousness. So he's asking us to be a living sacrifice. And he directs our attitude, our actions, our thoughts, our motives to be that we might be instruments of righteousness, not instruments of unrighteousness. Will, do you need a copy of the book? Nope, you got one? You're watching? Okay. I didn't know if you had one, filling it out or not. Nope, not filling it out. Going too fast for you? Or you just don't want to do it? Oh my goodness. All right. So we want to be instruments of righteousness, not instruments of unrighteousness. So how about the sacrifice? Here's the sacrifice. The qualifications of being a sacrifice is, first of all, a holy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice to God, and also sanctified service. Romans 12:1, sanctified. Which means what? To be set apart. To be set apart. So he wants holy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice, one that's acceptable to him, not one that follows the course of this world, but set apart, set aside for one purpose, to glorify him, the perfecting staff. The goal, once we're born again, once we know Christ is our Savior, we have the hope that's within us, we cannot lose our salvation, but after all that Christ has done for us, a desire to live for him and to serve him with all our lives. The sacrifice. And here's a warning. There's a warning in these verses too. Be not conformed, which means changed from the outside in. And I like to use the illustration of an ice cube tray. I know many people today have refrigerators that drop out ice cubes, and you know, you don't see a maker or an ice cube tray. But an ice cube tray has a particular shape to it, doesn't it? And you pour the water into that ice cube tray, and you stick it into the freezer, and when you pop those ice cube trays out, they usually don't come out looking like a snowman or Pinocchio or anything. They look like the shape of the ice cube tray, right? And so to be conformed means to be changed from the outside in. That we are poured into this little tray, this form, and we come out just the way the tray is. It doesn't come out any other way. And so the world loves to conform us to its own image. But rather it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The word transform means to be changed from the inside out. That's a beautiful picture. In other words, the world tries to form us into an image that it wants us to be like. It tries to tell us how we should dress. It tries to tell us how we should cut our hair. It tries to tell us how we should talk and the language we should use. And the world just kind of conforms us. And we got a lot of peer pressure in the world today. And with all that peer pressure, people start doing things that are habits that they shouldn't be doing because it's not cool if you don't do those things. Or if you do those things, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. The world just loves to conform us into its own image. And to be a servant of the true and living God, says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beg of you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And the word transform means to be changed from the inside out. I like to say to work out what God in his grace has already worked in. Think about it. When we come to know Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells within us. We don't want to be conformed to this world, to be the image of the world that it wants us to be. But rather, we want to be transformed, to allow Christ to work out what God in his grace has already worked in. We don't want to be conformed to this world, or look like this world, smell like this world, and act like this world. We should be different. Our lives need to be changed. The perfecting staff, he works through us that we might live a life well pleasing and glorifying to God. Set apart, sanctified for one purpose, to glorify God and to please him. Okay, everybody up with me? Any questions? Because we're going to go a little bit more into this, working out what God in his grace has already worked in. There's all kinds of ways to illustrate that. So there's a warning, and the warning is the world tries to squeeze us from the outside to conform us to the world's standards. The world has to, and you know, Scripture says that there's going to be a time when the wrong looks right and the right looks wrong. And we see it in the world today. The world's switching it around, isn't it? Switching it around and making us, making things like, oh, you know, doesn't the Bible say this is wrong? But the world looks at it and says, oh, no, no, that's right. That is okay. They like to switch it around. So the world is trying to squeeze us and make us into its own image. It tries to tell us how to dress, tries to our language, our music, our values, our friends. You know, I make the statement, you know, your friends will get you into more trouble than anybody else. Yeah, so we want to pick our friends wisely. Pick them wisely. Not friends that constantly pull us down and drag us down, but friends that love the Lord. You know, stick by them. Pray with them. And the best place to find friends is in the house of God. Yep, yeah, that's very much so. So there's a warning. There's also metamorphosis. I like this one. Transformed. It brings it a little bit more detail. By reading my Bible, that's how I can be transformed. I start thinking the way God thinks. I begin to hate sin the way God hates sin. Right? Yeah. My attitude begins to change because of what God's word has to say. Another way to be transformed is by desiring a life pleasing to God. Life pleasing to God. Like Daniel this morning, his goal was to please the Lord, to please the God that they worshiped, Yahweh, the true and living God. He wasn't going to worship some phony. He wasn't going to worship a God, King Darius, that wasn't the true and living God. You know, he's not God, but Daniel knew who God was. He knew God, who God is, and he's alive. He's alive. And that's why Daniel was able to walk out of the lion's den alive, because he served a true and living God. And then number three, by confessing known sin. You know, sometimes we have sin in our lives we need to confess. Bring before the Lord, 1 John 1:9, confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And that's talking about the Christian. There are some people that use that verse dealing with someone to trust the Lord as their Savior. But and you can do that. I mean, I'm not going to call you a heretic for doing that, but yet it's focusing on the believer and his need of confessing known sin. All right, any questions? All right, we identify with Christ. And the way that we work out what God in his grace has already worked in, there's a number of ways. First of all, baptism. Let's look at baptism. It's an outward expression of an inward act. Outward expression of an inward action. And here it is. Baptism is immerse under water. Immerse. That's the picture of baptism. The picture of baptism is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You know, not too long ago, we had a puppy die. We really liked our puppy. I was tied to that puppy. I liked that little puppy, and that puppy died. And, you know, I took place at a church. I was taking that little puppy for a walk, and a dog came along and grabbed a hold of that puppy and shook him, and she died about 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. My heart was broken. But, you know, when I took that puppy and I took him to the back of the church, I did not just lay him on the ground and sprinkle a little bit of dirt on top of him and walk away. No, I didn't do that. I buried him. I buried him because he was dead. He died. You don't just take a little bit of dirt and sprinkle on top of him and smell him for the next couple of months. No, you don't do that. You bury him. And the word baptism means to be immersed, to bury. It doesn't mean to sprinkle. Doesn't mean to dabble a little bit of water on. No, and you see, and not to do that destroys the picture of baptism. Baptism is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So baptism is by immersion. So first of all, baptism means to immerse under the water. You know, Philip, the evangelist, took the Ethiopian eunuch, and they found much water, and they walked down into the lake. A picture of the fact that, yes, he was immersed. It wasn't sprinkled, he was immersed. The next one, baptism is the first step of a Christian. Baptism is the first step of a believer. And you know, maybe you're here today and you've never been baptized. I want to encourage you to take that step of obedience, because it is a step of obedience. It shares with the world around you what Christ has done within you, that you want to live a life well pleasing and glorifying to God. Because if you're not willing to take that first step, you're going to falter and fall on the next steps as well. We want to be faithful and true to him. Next of all, is baptism is God's plan for the church. In Matthew 28:19, who would like to look that up and read it for us?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Very good. And that verse 20 also?
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you. So baptism is first of all, is the first step of a believer, first step of a Christian. And so, if one is not obedient in that area, there's other things within the church that's a problem. Because that's why we say in order to become a member of a local church, you need to be obedient to him. And baptism is that very first step. But not only do we want to look at baptism, I guess it continues here. Baptism is commanded by preaching in Acts 2:38. Somebody have that one? Could someone look up? Let's hand them all out. Acts 2:38. John 14:15, who'd like to read that? Slip a hand up, okay. And then Acts 2:41, who's got that one? Okay, Roger has that one. Then Acts 16:34. Nancy has that one? Okay. Okay, Acts 2:38 is the first one.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Very good. Praise the Lord. What a preacher. He was a preacher. All right. So baptism is commanded by preaching. Yep. And then John 14:15. Yep.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Very good. Baptism is motivated by the love of the Savior. And then Acts 2:41.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Very good. So baptism brings gladness. Brings gladness. When we're right with the Lord, and we're living for him, and we're obedient to his word, it brings gladness. Then Acts 16:33. Yep. Nancy, yeah. Yeah. Kevin kind of promoted you to that level, to that honor.
You want me to do 34 also?
Yes, you can, yeah.
And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And then 34.
Yep.
And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Yes. Baptism is a picture of joy when received. So it's proclaimed by preaching. It's because of our love for the Savior. It brings gladness and joy. And peace, yes. And I think there's a little bit more here on this one as well. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. The picture of Christ. And this is what I was talking about before, that baptism is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So, baptism is a picture of what Christ has already done for us. It's a picture of the fact that Christ died, that he was buried, and then resurrected in newness of life. Death, down in the water. Burial, you go under, or we go under, and then resurrection, we come back up. So that's why the preacher says, by the proclamation of your testimony, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you dip them under, raise them back up in likeness of his resurrection to live and serve him with your life. What a beautiful picture. And to do anything else other than immersion destroys the picture of baptism. It destroys it. How about communion? 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 34. And let's see here, 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go ahead. Who has verse 24? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24.
Oh. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat this this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Okay, it says, do this in remembrance of me. To remember what Christ has done, a picture of remembrance. And then the Lord's Supper is not, verse 25. I guess it's 24 and 25. Read 25.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
That's right. In remembrance of me. So the Lord's Supper is not a sacrament. You see, a sacrament is that if we look at it as a sacrament, that Christ dies right now and his blood is in the wine and his body is in the bread. It's a sacrament and it gives us salvation. But the communion is not salvation. It is in remembrance. It's not a sacrament. It's not a sacrament. It's an ordinance. And then verse 27.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
So number 3, if unworthy, you are guilty of the Lord's body. So when we partake of communion, we should pray and ask the Lord to forgive us of all known sin and to be in fellowship with him. Not to be living in sin or a grudge on somebody else in the church, but to have all sin taken care of. And then verse 26, did we already read that one? We could go on. Oh, we didn't? Okay, somebody read 26 then. All right, Norm's got it.
Okay, that's verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Till he come. Show the Lord's death until he comes. Even so come, Lord Jesus. After they got done with communion, they sang a song, and then they were dismissed. Yes. All right, any questions? Where am I here? Baptism, picture of Christ. Communion. All right, show the Lord's death till he come. So the question is, are you willing to be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him? Here it is. Are you willing to be a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ? And that is the last lesson here in the book, the perfecting staff. Now, I'm in a turmoil because I have worked on two different lessons, and I'm not sure which one to do next. I have the Sons of Proverbs that we're going to begin next Sunday, or I also have a series on what each and every believer should know. And that deals with creation, the deity of Christ, the inspiration of Scripture, and why do the just suffer? It's also a powerful study. I hope to be able to get both of them in by the beginning of the summer. That's my goal. And so we'll see what's going to happen. I'm not sure what I'm going to do beginning next time. So stand by and we'll find out, okay? We'll find out. Thank you so much. I hope that you get all that filled in and completed. And I hope that it was certainly a powerful and interesting study as we think about our own lives. Yes, Norman. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Yep. All right. Okay, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I think we should sing the third stanza in that one that Kevin picked here. Where he leads me, I will go. Yep, we didn't sing number three. So anyway, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for your love, your watch care, how you work in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word this very day and to consider our life before you. Help us to be a living sacrifice. Help us to be willing to live and to serve you with all of our hearts. Father, I also want to pray for the Gray family who's very sick, very ill. They had a little bit of a vacation this weekend and got too much sun. They're not feeling well. I pray that you'll bless them and put your healing hand upon them. Help them to feel much better, that Robert will be able to go back to work and that he will not miss any of the work opportunities. And Father, we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, hymn number 351. 351. Kevin.
The third stanza, third verse. Here we go. It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea, I take my cross and follow him wherever he leadeth me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Amen.
You're
dismissed.
Down 2 points.